Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to Praying for America, where we gather Christians and patriots from across our great land to pray for our great land, that it may be great, that it may be saved, that it may be secure. We need to pray and work. You know, prayer and work, they go together. They're aspects of each other. When you pray, you're coming into contact with God. God is the source of all good activity. So when you're communing with God, you're also being sent out to do the work of God. Prayer and action are not two things that we choose between. They are two things that we embrace together as aspects of one another. So we're going to talk about concrete policies that President Trump laid out for us in his recent speech at CPAC. I was there together with our Priests for Life executive director, Janet Morana. What a powerful and wonderful speech it was. We're taking some excerpts from it, and we've got the link to the webpage that we're going to show you at, you can watch the speech itself too, at PresidentTrumpRallies.com, PresidentTrumpRallies.com. And that's an important page to know about, because we put all the speeches there that the president gives, and we'll put documents like this that help us delve deeper. And, you know, it's easy to miss so many things in a speech. It's fast paced. You know, people are cheering, and or you might be distracted at a certain point. It's easy to miss because some of these most important points are spoken very, very short pieces. And so we want to unpack some of those pieces and pause and really dig into them. And on this program, we don't just reflect on what's going on in the news. We pray over it too. That is crucial. We start with the Word of God. And I want to read a passage here actually from the Passion account in John's Gospel and draw out some lessons from it. John chapter 18, starting with verse 1. When he had said this, Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley. There was a garden there into which he and his disciples entered. Judas, his betrayer, also knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas got a band of soldiers and guards from the chief priests and the Pharisees and went there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, knowing everything that was going to happen to him, went out and said to them, "Whom are you looking for?" They answered him, "Jesus the Nazarene." He said to them, "I am." Judas's betrayer was also with them. When he said to them, "I am," they turned away and fell to the ground. So he again asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" They said, "Jesus the Nazarene." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am. So if you are looking for me, let these men go." This was to fulfill what he had said, "I have not lost any of those you gave me." Let us pray. Father, we acknowledge your Son, Jesus, as the great I am, as God himself in the flesh. We acknowledge, O God, that he has come to save us, and that it is by the gift he freely gave of his life, the gift he freely gave of the shedding of his blood, that we stand today in your salvation. We praise you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Lord God, that we live in a country that was founded on a Judeo-Christian ethic that was shaped by the teachings of this God-made man. And we ask, Lord, that we be more faithful to those teachings, that we may make and keep America great, because we are rooted in those foundations that are the foundations of your kingdom, of your gospel. Bless us as we encounter your Son, Jesus Christ, who says to us, "I am. I am your God. I am here for you. I am interceding for you. I am bringing you the forgiveness of sins. I am bringing you a new life. I am making you adopted children of God. Let us hear those words, I am. Let us encounter that person and let us find in him life, freedom, and eternal salvation. We pray through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Isn't it a fascinating aspect of this passage here, of the Passion of Christ? How the soldiers, equipped with lanterns, torches, and weapons, fell to the ground just at the word of Jesus. He said, I am. The words I am are capitalized here in the scripture verse. They are the very name of God. If you go back to the third chapter of Exodus, when God called Moses to set the people free, he showed him a burning bush, started speaking to him, told him what he wanted him to do. And when Moses said, well, if the people ask me who sent you, what should I tell them? And God said to Moses, tell them, I am Yahweh. It's the very name of God. And it doesn't just mean some kind of static metaphysical existence. When he says, I am, it's dynamic. I am for you. I am your advocate. I am pleading for you, liberating you, saving you, lifting you up. I am for you. Well, that was the sense in which he appeared to Moses, because he was telling him, I have heard the cry of my people who are being oppressed. I am here for them, for their freedom. And it was an act of freedom, right? By which God liberated his people from slavery in Egypt. Then in another context later on in salvation history, in Isaiah 45, when we read King Cyrus is raised up after the end of the Babylonian exile, and he's moved to tell the people of Judah that they can go back. They can go back to Jerusalem. They can go back to rebuild the temple that had been destroyed by the Babylonian invasion in 587 BC. The Lord is speaking there, and he says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Turn to me and be safe. Notice, the I am is spoken again in the context of I am for you, advocating for your freedom, lifting you up out of oppression and slavery. I am for you. It's dynamic. In John chapter 8, Jesus is arguing with the Jews about who he is. And they say, well, why do you speak like this? Why do you speak with this authority? And he said, if you believe in my word, you will never see death. And then they challenge him, oh, Abraham died and all the prophets died. Who are you claiming to be? And that's when Jesus said, before Abraham even existed, I am. And there are the words in capital letters, just as they are in this passage, I am. Well, there again, it's in the context of I am here to save you. I am here to lift you up. I am here to free you. In this case, it wasn't freedom from Babylon. It wasn't freedom from Egypt. It's freedom from sin and death. He who believes my word will never see death. I will free you from your sins. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. All these passages come together and illumine one another. And so we come to this passion scene in John 18, and Jesus is about to be led to the cross. And he says, I am. Because, brothers and sisters, that cross was not a defeat for him, it was a defeat for our enslavers, namely Satan, sin, and death. It was a defeat for them. I am. Soldiers that were arresting him fell to the ground. Jesus, of course, allowed them to go on with their work of arresting him and ultimately crucifying him because, again, that was in fact the victory of Christ. But he makes it clear who he is. He doesn't let it be missed that he's in charge, he's God. And even in that instance of being led away under arrest, he is setting us free. Now, this is key for saving America. Where does our freedom come from? It comes from God. We enjoy our freedom. We have to defend it. But it's ultimately not a creation of ours. It's a gift from God. Now, we have to do a lot of work to make room for that gift. We have to make sure we recognize that gift when it's given to us. And we do have to defend ourselves against the attacks of freedom. We have to do it in every generation. As President Reagan said, it's not passed on in the bloodstream. We have to be defending it. We have to be teaching it constantly. We have to be vigilant always. You know, the Star Spangled Banner says that the flag was seen by the rocket's red glare and the bombs bursting in air. It was in the midst of a conflict. And then it asks a question, does that star-spangled banner, here it is here behind me, still wave or the land of the free and the home of the brave? In other words, are you still engaged in the conflict? Are you still defending freedom vigorously every day without letting that freedom be taken away, without letting that flag be removed? Are you still fighting? Are you still sacrificing? Does it still wave? Oh, the answer to that has to be yes, brothers and sisters. And that's the challenge. That's the summons that our anthem gives to us. With that in mind, are we still fighting? Is it still waving? The speech President Trump gave the other night gives us the blueprint for saying yes to that question that our national anthem poses. Let's look again at this document, pick up from where we left off last time. And we're going now to, we looked at the topics of law and order and homelessness and eradicating Marxism. We looked at the topics of war and peace and the border. Now we're going to get to the parents' rights. You know, President Trump says in his recent speeches, how is it that we even have to be talking about parents' rights? Isn't that one of the most common sense things in the world? Well, it is. And that's precisely the danger of our times. This is a battle between common sense and insanity. Champion of parents' rights, let's read what he said. I will fight for parents' rights, including universal school choice and the direct election of school principals by the parents. If any principal is not getting the job done, the parents should be able to vote to fire them and select someone who will. Now let's read the next one. Connected directly with this is patriotic education. Continuing the work of the 1776 Commission, we will teach our values and promote our history and our traditions to our children. Against, in other words, the radical philosophy of those who hate our country, pretend to serve it. I'm talking to you, Democrat Party leaders. Pretend to serve it, but hate it. And therefore want to rewrite our history, destroy our history, cancel our history, cancel the heroes of our history, and remake America according to their own left-wing, radical, demented image. No, we're not going to let them do that. We're going to teach our history. And we're going to teach values, and this is where the parents have the say, not the school boards, not the Department of Education. The parents have the say. Direct election of school principals, isn't that a great idea? And the ability to fire them if they're not taking that that classroom the right direction. You know, schools, principals, teachers, they're meant to assist the parents in what is ultimately the primary duty of the parents, because it's the parents, through God's choice, through God's grace, who have given life to that child. So they have the primary duty to educate them. They brought them into the world to begin with. They have to educate them. Teachers help, schools help, principals help, but they are always accountable to and need to be held accountable to the parents. So this is a great proposal indeed. Let's look at this document. Let's go to the next thing, protecting our youth. President Trump said the other night, "I will revoke every Biden policy promoting the chemical castration and sexual mutilation of our youth and ask Congress to send me a bill prohibiting child sexual mutilation in all 50 states." You know, people who are advocating these things, they're just sick. Like President Trump says, these people are sick. Similarly, the next item, protecting women's sports. "We will keep men out of women's sports." You know, if we saw this, gee, I mean, 10, 20, 30 years ago, if we saw this growing up as young students and we were told, oh, you know what we're going to be debating in the elections come 2023? Whether men can compete in women's sports, what would we have said? What would we have thought? How did we come to this insane point in our history? I don't know, but we're here. And when we protest against the radicalization of education, when we protest against the insanity of men competing in women's sports, we're told to shut up. And so this brings us to the next point here in this speech: smashing the censorship cartel. "I will destroy the illegal censorship regime and bring back free speech in America." That is a goal worth fighting for. Brothers and sisters, it is in the First Amendment to our Constitution. We have to be able to speak our mind. This is not just a constitutional issue. It's an issue of human rights and dignity. The human being can think, should be free to think what he or she wants and say it. It's also a matter of health, psychologically. I mean, we have to be able to speak our minds. We can't... It's contrary to our dignity and it's harmful to our health to be held back from saying what we sincerely believe. This is just wrong when that is done. And yet we see it. Oh, you can make the list just like I can of what is going on in our society to crush the freedom of speech and make us feel like we don't even know if we can say certain things anymore. We have to always be able to say what it is that we want to say and where we want to say it, and reach our intended audience, and not have speeches canceled or platforms dismissed from social media or news media outlets like Newsmax, kicked off of DirecTV with AT&T, and you know that whole battle that's been going on, also with One America News from DirecTV. Come on. In order to have a healthy society, we have to have a society that speaks and is able to speak. To have healthy families, we have to be able to speak within the family. To have a healthy church community, we have to be able to speak up within the church. To have a healthy nation, we need free speech. Let's pray for that. Let's pray about all these matters that we just discussed. Lord God, your word says, "I believed, therefore I spoke." Your word says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Your word says that the Spirit came down at Pentecost in tongues of fire, tongues, giving speech to the mouths of those apostles who up to that point were afraid, but then with the coming of the Spirit found the courage to proclaim your gospel to the ends of the earth. And when they spoke, they were understood. Simultaneously, in many languages, it was the miracle of Pentecost. We ask you for a new Pentecost in America. We ask you for a renewed outpouring of the Holy Spirit in America, that we may speak, that no forces may succeed in stifling our speech. Do not let, O God, our courage be stifled either. May we articulate your truth and bless one another by the proclamation of that truth as we uphold our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our freedom of speech. And Lord, we pray for law and order. We pray for parents' rights. Oh God, help parents rise to the occasion of exercising their responsibility to be the primary educators of their children. We pray, Lord, that we will return to patriotic education. We pray that our young people may be protected from any kind of mutilation or indoctrination. We want them to have education. And finally, Lord, to protect women's sports. Do not let the insanity of our day ruin the participation of women in sports or doom them to perpetually being behind because men are just identifying as women. Let's bring all our prayers and praises together now in offering the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Friends, thank you very much. We got a little bit more of President Trump's speech to cover in our next program. But stay with us on these programs because we rely on you to spread and increase our online audience. We want to reach more and more of our fellow citizens so that we can move faster and faster to the goal of saving America. Also, to that end, make sure that we're connected on social media. Fr Frank Pavone is my address on all the major platforms. Fr Frank Pavone. And friends, connect with Right Side Broadcasting too, RSB Network. And make sure you have your Getter account too. We're grateful for their live broadcasts of our programs. We will talk to you soon. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray for America. God bless you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.